Hey beautiful, welcome to Beauty Beyond Betrayal. Have you discovered your husband's been having an affair? Do you just want the pain to stop and be able to take a deep breath again? Do you find yourself up late at night Googling how to save your marriage, heal from an affair? Do you wake up with the hope that this nightmare would end only to feel crushed and humiliated because your husband acts like the affair was really your fault and now you're left obsessing with where he is and if he's seeing her again? Hey, I'm Lisa. I too was devastated when I discovered my husband was having an affair. I too felt the pain would never end and wished he would just stop the affair and we could restore our marriage. I wanted the weight of the trauma to be lifted so I could breathe again and be able to have someone, anyone help me climb out of the dark, miry pit of despair so I could begin to heal and be confident in me again. But I kept telling myself, he won't stop seeing her. Must have been my fault. And this pain, it'll never go away. Until I found hope and healing in Christ, along with simple techniques that helped me to learn how to recover from the betrayal. In this podcast, you'll discover what betrayal trauma really is, learn simple techniques to heal and recover, and get biblical guidance to help you make the right choices as you heal from the affair so you can be free from the heartbreak and the pain and rise in confidence once again to be the woman God created you to be. So beautiful, grab your favorite latte or a glass of wine, snuggle up on the couch and focus on yourself for a few minutes. Let's dive into what it really means to rise up from the ashes of betrayal and loss into a life that you really desire. Hey beautiful, we are back for part two on our topic around risking vulnerability after betrayal. You know, last Tuesday we were talking about what it means to actually be vulnerable again. Vulnerability revolves around really taking the risk to be hurt or wounded again, which is a high risk for those of us who have been betrayed, would you not agree? But it's one that is necessary if we are going to move forward in relationship and seek to restore what has been so damaged. So vulnerability is a key to actually building a better relationship. If we're really honest with ourselves, probably the relationship prior to betrayal, the vulnerability kind of waxed and waned. It was kind of thrown by the wayside. And conversations probably boiled down to whatever was going on in day-to-day life. Maybe you were talking about work or finances or the children or just a little kind of small talk, but there was nothing vulnerable that was being spoken about between the two of you. And even your sex life could have gotten to a place of being humdrum and not vulnerable, where the emotional connection was just not there anymore. You might have been just going through the motions. Do we all get to that point at some time or another? Absolutely we do. Marriage has its ups and downs, but as we are seeking to recover after betrayal, we have to finally look at the truth of being vulnerable again so that we can rebuild this relationship, so that we can take it to better depths and it can be better than it was before. And the key to that is being vulnerable. Now, while there's a risk that is involved in this, it is necessary to move you forward. So if you haven't listened to episode one on this, part one on this, it's below in the show notes. Stop where you are, go listen to it so you can get the context, and then come back to this, because this is part two. This one today, I'm going to actually take you through about five things that can help you start to be vulnerable with one another again. Now, while they may seem very simplistic, they allow for vulnerability if you really put forth the effort, okay? So we're going to dive into them. Grab your piece of paper, grab your pen, and let's get started. Now, let's look at number one. Number one is to actually have meals together where you are without any screens whatsoever. I'm talking turn the television off, Don't even bring your phone to the table. No computers, no iPads, nothing. Have the radio off. Listen, radio. Boy, you can tell I'm old school, right? Have Alexa turned off. All of that, unless it's some nice, smooth jazz music in the background, that's okay. But you want to unplug from all of that, anything that can be a distraction. Furthermore, I would say have dinner at the dining room table. Don't do it across from each other in the living room. No. These things can be distracting. So get together at the dining room table. Unplug from anything that's going to be a distraction and actually eat your meal together. Now, it may not seem possible to do this for every single meal. I get it because lives are busy. But whenever it's possible, unplug, put away the cell phones, turn the TV off, all of that yada yada stuff, the emails, the social media, all of that stuff can wait. This is where you're going to have an in-depth conversation, which is number two, that is a stress-reducing conversation. I'd love to see you spend about 30 minutes doing this. Is this easy to do at first? No, because you're reestablishing the sense of communication, you're reestablishing some skills, and you're going to have to really put forth some intention and some effort to do this. But spend about 30 minutes a day having a how was your day kind of conversation. Now, at the dinner table is a great place to do this, but if you're not going to be able to sit down for dinner that night, then definitely take 30 minutes prior to bedtime so that you can have a check-in. How was your day, dear, so to speak, and speak with your spouse. The purpose of this conversation is to actually discuss external stress. It's not a time to bring up issues about the betrayal, about what you, the hardcore problems that are still you're working through in the relationship. No. This is where you are actively listening as one of you shares how your day was. Now, do you always want to come to the table complaining about your day? No. If you've had a hard day, it's understandable, but seek to bring to the table one high and one low of what you've experienced throughout your day. This is where you're going to share your deep concerns of this is why my day didn't go so well, and then your high highs of this is actually a praise from what happened today. You're going to actively listen. One partner's going to actively listen while the other is speaking. Then you will have your turn. Take turns sharing how you feel. Show compassion to one another. This will help reap rewards of an emotional connection within your relationship. Now, you might be saying, well, Lisa, I don't even know what to share during a conversation right now because we're just reestablishing ourselves. Do you have any ideas? I sure do. I'm going to give you 5 questions that you can actually utilize in this conversation that you're having every day to get you started. Okay, so the first one is this. Ask your spouse, what was the highlight of your day today, hon? And what did you feel good about today and why? Ask them that question and just sit there and listen carefully. Actually hear what your spouse has to say to you. And when they're sharing, after they finish sharing, then what I would love for you to do is to use a little bit of what I call the speaker-listener method, and then go back and say, so what I'm hearing you say is, and actually tell them what they said. You can use your own words, but reiterate back to them, this is what I heard you say to me. What is so great about that technique is it gives them the opportunity to say, no, you didn't quite hear me correctly. So they can say it again. You can at that point say, I'm sorry, I didn't hear you correctly. Could you say it one more time? Because I really want to hear you. And then you can reiterate it to them once again until you get it right. This brings forth emotional connection on a deep level. All right, the second question is, what was the downer of your day? What did you enjoy least about today? What made you feel badly, so to speak, and why? The third question is, what do you think the Lord might be doing in your life through these things? Ooh, that's a good one, right? Because it really makes them stop and think, well, how can the Lord be using these highs and lows in my life? And it can open up deeper conversation between the two of you, which again is connecting you emotionally on a deeper level. All right, number four is this. What can I do to help make the rest of your day better? What do you need from me right now? Listen, talk about brownie points in a relationship, and that's not why you ask these questions. Believe me, it's not to gain brownie points. But when you're doing it truly from your heart, it's heartfelt, you really mean it, you're trying to connect with your partner, they can feel it, they can sense it, and it truly, truly brings you closer together. All right, and the last one is this. How can I pray for you today? I want to know right now, how can I pray for you? So these are the questions. If you don't know what to ask during that stress-reducing conversation, utilize these questions to help you with that. Okay, now let's look at number three of what you can do to create more vulnerability in your relationship. Number three is this. Do something together. That could mean that you could go outside for a bike ride, sit on your front porch, and just spend that time together. Maybe you cook your meal in the kitchen together. I know my husband and I love to spend time in the kitchen together. It was something that we loved to do prior to the betrayal, and we made sure we reestablished that after the betrayal. It was a great connection for us. So what is it for you that you can do? Maybe it means that you exercise together, and maybe you can have a post-dinner walk or a pre-dinner walk. Maybe on Saturdays you go to the farmer's market. I know springtime is coming up soon. Maybe you go to the farmer's market together. Maybe Sunday afternoons you go for a stroll downtown or stroll on the beach or a stroll in the mountains. Whatever that looks like, do something together. Studies show that sharing an experience with one another, whether it's an exciting experience or it's a stress-reducing experience, can bring you closer together. All right, now let's look at number four. Number four is to make sure that you have a date night weekly. Now, for some of you who have young children, weekly might be very difficult, but bi-weekly, at least. You should never go past 2 weeks when it comes to a date night. It's important for you to get away as a couple, away from the home, and do something together as a date. Dating each other and keep dating each other means that you are going to stay connected with one another. Regularly go out with one another, just like you did before you got married. Stay curious about each other. Make sure to have some deep conversations when you're out. And ask open-ended questions, okay? Maybe ask questions that are not yes and no questions, but that they require an answer. And be a student of your partner, which means study them. Watch their body language while they're talking to you. Pick up on the little nuances and then talk to them about it. I noticed when you said that, you seemed really uncomfortable. Tell me about that a little more. Or if they're sharing something that brings a smile to their face, acknowledge the fact that they smiled while they were saying it. Tell me a little more about that because it seems like it made you really happy. It will show your partner that you are truly engaged in the conversation and your time together. You're present, so to speak. And while you are dating one another, it's very, very important that the phones are not on the table. Okay, do not take out your phones while you're at dinner, on a date, or at a movie, unless it's for a quick selfie because you want to share it with the world or whatever, but then put the phones away. Make sure you're present with one another. Okay, let's look at the last one, number five. Share a 6 to 10 second kiss with one another often. A daily kiss that is not just a peck on the cheek, on the forehead, or a peck on the lips, but is engaging for 6 to 10 seconds will increase your emotional and physical intimacy. And according to author Dr. Corey Floyd, physical contact releases oxytocin, and that's called the bonding hormone. This can improve your mood for days even, and can help you stay calm and cool in your relationship and with others. Holding hands and hugging and touching and making out can also reduce the stress hormones. It's reducing that cortisol level, and it increases your relationship satisfaction. So kissing for about 6 seconds, if that feels too much to you right now, then share a hug together. But make sure if it is a hug that you hug for no less than 20 seconds. 20 seconds and hold each other tight. This connection, once again, will improve your mood. It releases oxytocin that brings forth that bonding hormone, and it can increase your emotional and physical intimacy. Now, how can this, in any way, shape, or form, increase your vulnerability? Well, never underestimate the power of intentional time together with your spouse. Being intentional, doing fun things together, doing things that require emotional connection or physical connection, requires vulnerability. This is a time where you are seeking to be present, to be your authentic self, to connect with one another. Yes, you're taking the risk, but this is going to build deep vulnerability that is going to help you to connect, help you recover, and help you build a better relationship moving forward. Now, I can tell you that Dr. John Gottman, he suggests that couples commit to a magic 6 hours a week together, which includes rituals for saying goodbye in the morning, reuniting at the end of the day, and connecting throughout your day for a total of 6 hours a week. I mean, if you can't give each other 6 hours a week to be vulnerable and connect to each other, we still have a little bit of a problem. Yes, we do. So this can help you tremendously. Sticking to these things can help you reconnect when life has been hard and it's getting in the way, and it can help you rebuild your relationship and connect at a deeper level that is going to increase your vulnerability. And beautiful, try these things out. It is important for you to be vulnerable if you are going to reconcile your relationship. If you are going to move forward and build a better one, vulnerability is the key. And these are just a few ways that can help you to do that. I hope these helped you, and I hope that it really sparks some great conversation between you and your spouse so that you can have a better relationship after betrayal. Be blessed. Thanks for stopping by today and spending a little while with me. I hope you enjoyed today's show and found hope, healing, and encouragement. Please remember to subscribe to my podcast and leave a review. You can even screenshot this episode and share it on IG or Facebook stories. This is how we get the message of hope and healing out to all women who are in the midst of betrayal and loss. If you're ready to move out of the devastation of betrayal and take the next step in your healing, make sure to reach out to me and schedule your breakthrough coaching call today. Until next time, love God, live your life passionately, and always choose joy in the midst of any circumstance that you may face. Cheers to you, beautiful.